Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask that you bless this conference call tonight, this fellowship of like-minded believers, Lord, and I just praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that mighty things are going to come out tonight to your glory, Lord, and place it in our hearts, Father, to give you the glory out of everything that happens, because you're the only one that can make it happen. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. All right. I don't know why this thing changed from maps to initials, but it did again. But anyway, I'll try to get everybody if I can. There's Catherine. Hey, Catherine, I got your email. It looks like you made it on okay. Praise God.
Hi.
All right. Praise God. Okay, we're going to ask for prayers now. Anybody need prayer or would like to pray us to pray for somebody, or you would like to pray for us and us agree with you, this is the time right now.
Yeah, I'd like to pray with for my kids, just to have them get close to the Lord and have everybody agree with it.
Okay.
Dear Father, I ask you to put your spirit on my kids, to draw them closer to you, to make them desire to follow after you and run with their whole heart. Get them totally immersed in your kingdom. And as we get ready for these times, I know they can be very distracted with school and all their activities, but Lord, I need you just to work on their hearts too, and let them know, as all our children in this group know, that it's important right now. It's very important to draw close to you and have that desire put in them, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with David's, and we believe it's going to happen. We believe it for him. We believe it for everybody else, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Well, Lord, I just I lift up Blake to you. Lord, you got him where he's listening, and that's a good thing. And, Father, I just thank you for the good work you're doing in him, cleaning him up, Lord, and getting him ready for this great end time harvest that's coming, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all that you're doing. I thank you for your protection upon him too, Lord, sending your angels around about him, Lord, to minister to him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else?
I guess I'd like to ask if any... Go ahead.
Just go ahead, David.
I was wondering, because last a couple teaching sessions David's had, it's been about a lot of faction and the man-child and the bride and experiencing a lot of whatever we're going to be going through. I don't know if anybody else has been experiencing a lot, but it seems like it's ramped up on me a lot at work lately. I can just see it and feel it from different people. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. It seems like Satan's trying to find a way to draw you in, draw you out of your rest, you know, to get you off base and kind of into his territory. I've been seeing that a lot.
Amen. Yeah, it is. It's actually God doing it to work that patience in us and putting those people around us to test us and strengthening us up in him. And our trust in him implicitly. And he's doing a good work at it. There's lots of people going through the same thing. Matter of fact, it seems like to me that the Lord is going deeper and deeper into people and just dragging everything out and running it through his filter. I know we sometimes feel like we've gone through the ringer. But God's, you know, God's got a different standard than we do, and he wants us all very clean, and he's going to do it. Praise God. We just need to rest, like Dave was talking about. Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Malcolm. I just was, I just felt the need to pray for David Eels with respect to, I think it's Sean at Omega and Ministry. Listen to that recording, and I just said, I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know if the Lord's going to provide time for David to do that, but anyway, just praying. But David, you and Dave will have wisdom on some of this stuff.
Well, go ahead.
you know, I'm so far from the situation, I don't really know.
Okay, what was it you wanted to pray about, Malcolm?
Well, I just for guidance, that David has guidance as to what to do about Omega Man Ministries, if he's going to be able to spend any more time being on his program.
Well, yeah, I can tell you that it takes up a lot of time, that it's hard for him to shuffle around and do those types of programs because of the time it takes to, you know, to do that. He don't have very many days off, if any at all. And so anyway, yeah, we can pray and see if God will open it up a little bit.
Well, you know, I have no burden. I don't have any burden either way. I just, I mean, one person can only do so much physically.
Yeah, he had put him off for quite some time, and then finally just decided, the Lord told him, go ahead and do it. And he went ahead and did that, and it was a blessing. Yeah. I'd like to read something here. That we got today. Don't know if this is going to happen, but it's a dream that David got, and I know that there are a lot of you, or some of you out there on the West Coast, and we're just going to throw it out there. This is from Tracy. Let's see. It says, "Hi, David. I wanted to send this in case you have other information already that would make this important." She said, "My daughter had a dream, and three of us were on our back porch at night, me, my daughter, and my son, and we were looking at the stars. There were so many stars in the sky, and my daughter had her camera and decided to take a picture of them." Now remember, this is a dream. "All of a sudden, a map about the size of an iPad appeared, floating in the middle of us. We were looking at it. I pointed to the map that was showing the left northern portion of America. Then I said, 'Cascadia.' We talked about what would happen. She doesn't remember what was said, but then my daughter saw on the map that waves were coming in quick succession. Then she heard of, or somehow knew, let me read that again. Then she heard or somehow knew this Thursday. When she had told me this, we were going to ask for a confirmation later with all of us included, but I had to go help my husband. So after I left to go outside, she," her daughter, "was watching Back to the Future 2. In the movie, Doc and Marty were going back to November 12th, 1985. Then she switched channels and saw the Reba show, and in it, Barbara Jean said, 'We should do this every Thursday night.' And then a few minutes later, she was playing a game on her iPad, and it said she had 11 of 12 correct. And then she saw 4:44 p.m. She saw, heard all of the things before 4:35 p.m. on 11/7/2015. Now, some of you probably know Cascadia is in the area of the Northwest and includes parts of Canada, Washington, Oregon, and California. The Cascadia subduction zone being there. There was a total eclipse on November the 12th, 1985, and November the 12th, 2015 will be a waxing crescent moon, the first phase after the new moon, with 1% illumination. November the 11th, Catherine, can you mute your phone, please? Do you know how to mute your phone?
No.
Okay, I'll mute you for it. And
want me to mute it?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I actually don't know how to do it.
All right, I can mute you. I can mute you, and if you want to talk, you can hit star, star, and it will unmute you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay. He talked about that. She talked about that. In other words, she was trying to get some confirmations on Thursday, which is the 12th. It's November the 12th. And so we don't know if this thing's going to happen then, but we do know that they have been predicting the Cascadia is going to go. They don't know when, but they know it's going to be in the very near future. And when it goes, they're looking at 9+ on the Richter scale. And that would cause a great tsunami that would go slam across the Pacific to Japan, and also, of course, the whole up and down the West Coast here. If that happened, so be in prayer about that. All right. Anybody got any comments or testimonies or praise reports they'd like to share?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Malcolm.
Kind of a there's actually something I can't share, but it has to do I can't even talk to local people about some things that are going on, but it could be really significant for this whole area on the Columbia River. So I can't say anything, but it's just something to pray about. My wife, years ago, my wife and also a neighbor, a little bit up, we're off the Columbia River a little ways, maybe 500, 700 feet above that level of the lake. And the level is set by Grand Coulee Dam down south of us. But both my wife and somebody else in the area had a dream that the water was up to their garden, which is a whole lot higher than that dam is down there. And I don't know if it's from the Lord or if it's just kind of a fluky dream that a couple people here have in the area, but that would mean there'd be a huge upheaval of some kind. I can't imagine water being up that high, which is right now about 1,000, almost 1,200 feet above sea level. Back to you, Mike. Michael.
Hey, Malcolm. Malcolm, I got a question. Did you say multiple people had that dream?
You talking to me, Tim?
No, Malcolm. Malcolm, did you say multiple people had that dream of water that high?
Come in, Malcolm.
Unmute your phone, Malcolm.
Oh, okay. I'm sitting here with my finger on the mute button, just toggling back and forth, hoping for... No, I'm sorry. No, my wife and a neighbor, not adjacent neighbor, but somebody about the same elevation off the Columbia River had the same kind of dream that water was up to their garden, lapping right at the edge of the garden. And both our gardens are kind of at the end of a kind of a drop off. So,
well, how far up are you?
We're about about 1,200-1,300 feet above sea level.
And she had water up in her garden at 1,200 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo.
But the thing is, we have the lake called Lake Roosevelt. Just we're kind of up the hill from that, about 700 feet higher than that, and that level is controlled by the Grand Coulee Dam. So it'd have to be way over the top of that dam, if I understand how everything works.
What would happen if? What would happen if the dam broke?
Well, all of Portland and all of the West Coast would be underwater.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, if the dam broke, it would just flood Portland and wipe out all the cities down along the Columbia Gorge and Kennewick, Pasco, and Tri-Cities area, and that'd be huge.
Yeah. What about the Cascadia? Would that affect you all there? It would, wouldn't it?
I'm sure it would, because if you have a 9.3, which is what they're kind of predicting, I'm sure that would have a huge effect. But, it may give us more water out of our well.
that's a plus, I guess. But, you take a 300, 400-foot wall of water up and down the West Coast, that'd take out a lot of folks. Because if that thing happened, you wouldn't have but 10 minutes at the most to get to higher ground.
Well, if there's that much disruption, I don't know how anybody would move anywhere.
I know.
Yeah, there's no time.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to help people, then you're just going to be helping them, and that's about all you can do.
Yeah.
We just have to pray. But I don't know if these dreams are from the Lord, but. My wife and this friend of ours, they both were talking about this dream that was so similar.
That could be something to it. We'll wait and see. Let's pray, though. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if you plan on doing this thing, Lord, I ask and I pray that you take your chosen out of harm's way. Get them out of harm's way, Lord, and we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, that all of your chosen are up on higher ground, or you're going to translate them out of harm's way. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me just say on this other threat, it's very real. It's a real threat, and it's very immediate. And it's very strange because nobody knows the source or what the intentions are. I mean, it's not that I know of. So that's something we could pray for. I can't be specific. I'm sorry, but it just has it's a huge deal, and not many people know about it.
Well, it's some kind of catastrophic event.
It could precipitate something like that, yes. But it's a totally man-made thing. I just don't, especially on this call, I can't really talk about it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, all right. You want to pray? Because you probably know how. I wouldn't know how.
Yeah, Lord, I just pray. I thank you that you know all this stuff, and you actually have a lot of involvement in all the stuff that's going on, and I praise your name that you have the situation in hand, and I praise you that your timing, you're in control of all the timing of all these things that all the threats that come against us, and that you can protect. I just pray that you protect your elect wherever they are, and also I again want to pray for all the geoengineering projects going on in the area. I just pray that you will protect your elect from all that and make all that null and void for them. I thank you. In Jesus' name, I praise your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else got a testimony, praise report? Would just like to share something that the Lord showed you? Or whatever.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
I have a testimony. I have two of them, actually.
Okay.
Today, I had a bad attack of asthma, which I've been told I had years ago. And praise the Lord, he delivered me from the disease. And I actually built faith up in myself and my husband at the time, because I suffered a lot and I was constantly in and out of the hospital. And this was when I was still in Catholicism and I thought I was saved and I didn't even really know what saved was. Well, anyway, I was constantly going to the doctors and sick and in and out of the hospital. And then I came to the Lord and I studied scripture after scripture on healing and just grabbed a hold of that and just really pressed in. And within 2 years, I was off of all the medicine. And I remember my husband at the time commenting, and he was like, wow, look what the Lord did for you. And the doctor, after 20 years, hasn't done anything, and you were so sick. So I've been getting attacks on and off periodically. For a while there, for years, they were gone completely, and then it seems like it comes back, and I search my heart and ask the Father if there's a reason for them, and I think it's to hinder my walk in advancing and doing what he's calling me to do in certain areas. So anyway, today was another bad attack, and I'd called for prayer and came into agreement, and we prayed, and took a couple hours. I was battling it, but praise the Lord, I feel perfectly fine again now and not had any trouble, so I just praise God for giving me faith to endure this trial. I guess it's a trial of my faith when it comes back, and I just appreciate the prayer and you standing with me, and I just praise God for healing me from it. That's my testimony from today. And then my other awesome one is the week before last, I had asked on here for prayer for my sister, Cheryl. She was told she had breast cancer, and last year she was supposed to start radiation therapy, and she chose not to. She had said the surgeon, she had a lumpectomy, had told her she had a year to have the radiation done, and I battled some things coming from the medical field. Some things didn't sit right, and I had to keep battling in my mind, casting down the RN spirit and not thinking in the terms of a nurse any longer and thinking what the word says. And I think the week before last, Michael prayed, and we prayed and agreed for my sister to come to the Lord, for the Father to draw her and for her to be saved, and then delivered, and then healed. Last week, I met with a sister, and we had some fellowship, and we prayed and came into agreement on Wednesday, and my sister was to have the biopsy on Thursday. She went to the doctors. When Michael prayed on Tuesday, she went to the doctors Wednesday, and I was believing that she wouldn't need any radiation, and she was supposed to start it that Wednesday. Well, when she went, the oncologist said, "I don't feel right about this. Something doesn't seem right. We're not going to start any radiation. We're going to send you for an MRI, a CAT scan, and a mammogram." And she went for the mammogram, I believe. And they told her that they felt another lump, but they thought it was scar tissue from this lumpectomy that she had. And she had was supposed to have a biopsy, so Barbara and I met last week, and we prayed, and she was going on Thursday, and we prayed on Wednesday that the Lord would just take care of it, and I entered into a rest, and she agreed with me, and my sister had a biopsy, and they called her Friday night and said, "You're cancer-free. You don't have any cancer," and I was like, "Oh, hallelujah," because I called her on Saturday. I said, "I haven't heard anything from you," you know, and she has a tendency to speak the bad report, but when she gets a good report, she holds it to herself and doesn't say anything. And I'm like, "Man, sis," I was like, all of my friends, like meaning the brother, and like I just call you guys friends to my family, I was like, they're all going to be jumping for joy and dancing in front of the Lord, because this is an awesome, awesome testimony. I was like, praise the Lord. And she was excited, and she said, "Well, they told me that since there was a discrepancy between the oncologist and the actual surgeon from last year, one had told her she needed the radiation in a year's time, and the other one told her it should have been in a month, and that's a huge difference." And it didn't sit right with me last year when she said all this, but I kind of just gave it to the Lord and was just standing on it. So I just praise God, because I told her, I said, "Don't even speak that, you know, you're not going to need anything. The Lord has healed you, just receive it and, like, run with it." And I was like, thank him for it. And I'm still standing in faith that she'll get a spark, you know, lit within her spirit, that she'll, you know, want and desire the Father and, you know, want to have a relationship with Jesus, and that she'll just know where all these answers came from. But thank you, everybody, so much for praying and agreeing. And thank you so much, Father. I just praise you so much for the awesome testimony, because I'm just really excited. So, amen. That's all I have.
Praise God. Yes, praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for her. She understands it was God, doesn't she?
In a way. I don't think fully yet, but, you know, I told her. That's what I said. I was like, praise the Lord. Like, I was just so excited. And she was like, yeah, but they said that it might be. And I was like, don't even speak that. I said, wait. The first thing I told her, I was like, wait till I tell Michael. He'll be dancing.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Like, that's really awesome.
So I'm gonna keep. So I think the Lord's opening things up, and, you know, setting seeds and planting things, and I'm just gonna keep standing in faith for my family.
Amen.
Father.
Thank you, Lord. You're free of that asthma too, aren't you?
Yeah. Amen. That was awesome.
Praise God.
Yeah. Well, I think I had an attack like 3 weeks ago or something when I saw prayer and. I don't know where they come from. I know it's because I'm progressing and trying to do things, you know, things from the past that bothered me before I was delivered. Seemed like it tries to trigger it, but I praise the Lord for standing with me, brother, because I'm healed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I can breathe fine.
Good. You got good lungs. You got restored lungs. You got miracle lungs, don't you?
Amen. Restored and renewed.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. That's awesome. Put that one up on the wall. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Share anything. Whatever's on your heart. Nobody? Anybody need to have anything they'd like to share as far as the word goes? Anybody getting any word, good word from the Lord? All right. Go ahead. Somebody trying to talk? All right. Let's see. See what I got here. I tell you what, we've been running through some trials here, some big trials, actually. People are getting cases of 24-hour virus, a stomach virus, and some, and we've been praying hard, and it only happens for a little while. But boy, it sure makes you want to, you humble yourself and want to know what's going on. And I believe it's the Lord stretching us, getting that darkness out, getting those spot and blemishes taken care of. And I believe it's a good thing. I don't know if any of y'all are experiencing those type of things, but we are here, and it's... cleaning the body, I believe. A little bit more. I'm waiting for a revival. I don't know about y'all, but I am so on fire for this revival to start. And, you know, I believe it's going to start real soon. As soon as God drops down and pays a visit, it's going to start, I guarantee you. And it's going to be awesome. But until then, we keep praying for it, don't we? Because that's what brings revival, is prayer. Every time there's ever been a revival anywhere, it's been because of people praying and believing God for it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just praise you, Lord, and thank you that this revival is going to come soon.
Yeah, and,
yes, sir. Go ahead, Marlon. Marlon, you're breaking up.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Marlon, you're breaking up real bad. You might have to go out and come back in again.
Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, just barely. You're breaking up real bad. Can you hear me? Okay, he went out. He'll be back. Sometimes that happens. I don't know why it does up there in Nebraska, but it does. He must have a testimony. That'd be good. Anybody got anything they'd like to share while Marlon's going out and coming back in? We need to be separated from the world, don't we? Separated from the world and separated from sin. And that's what God's been working on us about. From the very beginning, God wanted us to be separated from the rest of the world. They're to be holy and separated from the rest of the evil people of the world. Go ahead, Marlon. I can hear you now. Marlon, go ahead. Uh-oh. I'm not hearing anything. I don't know if you're talking or not. Can you hear anything, Tim?
No, I'm not hearing anything. Hey, Marlon, why don't you try coming back in and using the other phone number and see if that will clear it up.
Yeah. Well, all right. Marlon, you're going to have to go out and come back in. Use that other number. That'll probably get you in real good. There we go. And that's what God's doing. He's separating his people from the rest of the people of the world at this time now. He's getting the bride separated from the rest of the world, from the apostate religion and all of that stuff. And he's cleaning them up. He's shaking them out, and he's drying them. He's got them on the wash line out there, and they're blowing in the breeze. They're getting all that mess off of them. Before I get all right, is that you, Marlon?
Can you hear me now?
Oh yeah, we can hear you now, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with our phone because when I tried to talk, you couldn't hear me, and I was just sitting here listening, and then you said I was trying to call, so I don't know what's going on, but I wasn't here earlier when you had time for prayer, and I was just going to ask for prayer, or to agree with me in prayer for myself. But if I'm butting in on something, I can wait.
You go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you remember, I think last spring or winter maybe I prayed for a tooth that was really bothering me, and it got better, and then my gum started aching again, and I thought it was, it wasn't healed, that it was coming back, and it got really bad the other day, and I realized it's the tooth beside the one that was bothering me last year, so actually that tooth got healed, and this is a different tooth. So I'd just like to pray for this tooth and ask everyone to agree with me. Father, we just put our faith together with everyone on the conference call. Just come against any demonic spirits that are trying to interfere with my tooth, any spirits of pain or any spirits of infirmity. We just command you to go in Jesus' name. You can't be there. And I just speak healing to this tooth. Just command this tooth to be healed in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you send your ministering angels to... I don't fall into doubt and unbelief or any kind of wishy-washy thinking that Satan tries to put in my mind. Just give me strength, Lord, to stand on the promises that this tooth is healed. And I thank you, Lord, that it is healed because your word says it was healed at the cross. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook all our faith together with Marlon's and consider it as done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for healing Marlon's tooth. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else got something? Well, all right. Separation from the world and separation from the sinners of the world, evil people of the world. Genesis 24:1, it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his servant, the elder of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou wilt not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." Now, we've got Father Abraham here instructing that his son was not to take a wife out of the ungodly Canaanites who worshipped the Baal god. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3, it says, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for he will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he will destroy thee quickly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall break down their altars, and dash in pieces their pillars, and hew down their ashram, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a people for his own possession. Above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loveth you, and because he would keep the oath which he sware unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now we see a holy people here, who were supposed to be separated from the rest of all the other evil people of the world. He commanded that separation. God commanded that separation in order to keep his people from being influenced by the ungodly people. Somebody needs to mute.
I think it was echoing, Michael.
Oh, yeah?
We're getting some phone issues. I got dropped, too, like Marlon and I had, you know, and then it came back acting like it was Huber was trying to call me, and I don't know why. Let's pray against this. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, if people don't mute, it might echo. That's right. So, in the name of Jesus, right now, we come against any kind of communication errors, any kind of communication problems, in Jesus' name, in any of our equipment, in Jesus' name, our computers and our headsets and our microphones and all of that stuff is going to work like it's supposed to without any kind of interruptions, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everything is fixed and repaired and restored as new. Ain't going to be any kind of echoes in there. Not going to be anybody that doesn't have a mute button and knows how to use it. And Father, we thank you that it's going to be just fine. And everybody's supposed to be holy and separated unto the Lord.
Michael.
Hey.
Are we muted?
No, you're not. Hang on, I'll get you. Let me see. I think Linda's not either. Let me see if I can find her. Yeah, there she is. Okay. Anybody else need to be muted? You know, to get unmuted, you hit star, star. Hit star twice. That'll get you back out here into the real world. Let you be able to talk. Anyway, the Lord wants us to be separated as a holy people away from the world. And that's what he's been doing these last few years with us, with y'all. And that is, he's been sending us through the mill, so to speak. Sometimes it feels like he's pulling us through a knothole backwards, but it's all for our good. You know, all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord. And all these things that are happening to us is for a reason, and that's for cleanliness, holiness, and putting on that garment of praise, that garment of righteousness. And when this thing is ready to go, the Lord is going to hit that button, so to speak, and get this thing going, you know, where the anointing will come. And the man-child will be anointed and brought into play. And if you know anything about the history, you know David always talks about Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, where the things that were are the things that shall be, and there ain't no new thing under the sun, just put it in my words. So everything that's happened before is going to happen again. And we have types and shadows all throughout the biblical history. And those types and shadows are stories for us that's happening, that's going to happen now, in the times ahead. So all those things that we read about in the Old Testament and those things that we read about during Jesus' time are types and shadows and instructions for us for what's going to happen in the days ahead. And one of the things that happens is that the separation from the bride from the rest of the church, it's a separate a bunch of people, or a small group of people, actually, that the Lord has been working on and has been cleaning them up, and they're the ones that's going to be helping to disciple in the days ahead. The man-child is going to come out of the bride. All the man-childs are going to come out of the bride. So, and there's going to be numerous man-childs coming out, numerous as Jesus is walking on this earth. And it's going to be an awesome time of miracles and great miracles. Jesus said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. And I believe that. I believe we're going to come into an era here of great, majestic miracles that God's going to do for his people. He's going to save them in great ways. You know, people are going to be translated out of harm's way. People are going to be just walking healing ministries. The healings that are going to take place are going to be just phenomenal. And it's going to be an awesome time. Just going to be an awesome time. And I'm looking forward to it, and I hope everybody on this conference call is looking forward to it as well. But the bride is a special group of people. And we've been studying about that. We've been just got through with, what was the name of that? What was the name of that, Tia? That one we just finished.
What has shall be.
Oh, yeah. What has been shall be. The man-child returns, which is a good story of how the man-child is going to walk, you know. And it gave us all the types and shadows of Joshua and Moses and Jesus and various and sundry others throughout biblical history that were types and shadows of the man-child. And one of the best ones was Jesus. Jesus is a type and a shadow of these men that are going to be man-child ministry. He's going to be walking Jesus on earth, coming here shortly. And it's just going to be an awesome time. But we have to be ready. We have to allow God to do that work in us. And lots of times it hurts too much. People get to a plateau and they don't want to go any further. But I'm telling you, it'll all be worth it if you just allow the Lord to do his work in you. Sometimes when you get to that plateau and you don't want to go any further, you know, sometimes it you just have to make up your mind you want to go as far as you can with the Lord and forget about yourself and your flesh and just tune in to the Lord and put your eyes on him and just go for it. We're fixing to get into another Bible study here shortly. It's the man-child and bride prophecy, which is about the book of Esther and Mordecai, you know, and you all know the story of that. It's David's book on that, and it's another awesome book. It tells what's going to happen in the times ahead. And I think it's going to be exciting. Well, I know it's going to be exciting times for those that are of the Lord. And those that aren't of the Lord, it's going to be a disastrous time. For those fence setters, for the ones who are sitting on the fences, got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, which you can't have. If you got one foot in the world, you're not in the kingdom. It's going to be a bad time for you because your faith is not going to be where it needs to be to get through these times, because there's going to be great devastation. There's going to be great destruction of life in the days ahead. And that's why God is ramping up the heat, so to speak, in people's lives to get them to the point to where they just keep their eyes totally on him and they're totally in the spirit 24/7. And I know that it sounds like it's an impossibility to a lot of you, but I'm seeing it coming to pass more and more every day, and I know some of you are as well. It's just being able to tune in to Jesus and listen to Jesus talk to you and listen to the Lord talk to you. Those times in the mornings when we first get up, we need to get by ourselves. I know Tim has talked about this quite a bit. It's get by yourself and get quiet and listen for the Lord's direction for the day. And he'll tell you. He'll talk to you. And he'll give you those directions. And he'll do that all day long if you'll listen. You got to listen, though. You'll learn how to do that. And as time goes on, you'll learn how to do it more and more if you practice it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you say, well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, I'm talking about listening for the voice of God, that still, small voice that comes in and talks to you. And those things, those signs from God that you pick up on, and his direction, that's his direction. It's just those things that you know are from God, and you go for it. And you finally, after a while, you just learn to grab a hold of those little things that you see. Oh, that's from God. Okay, God, I believe that. I see that. And it's just an awesome walk that God's bringing us into. And I just thought I'd just kind of throw that out there for a little bit and see what y'all think about it. Anybody Michael? Got any comments? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Michael.
I just had it. Thoughts in my heart. You know, that word that the Lord spoke to pretty much every one of the churches in the book of Revelation. At the end of every one of the exhortations to the church, he said, he that overcometh, as it said with the Laodicean people, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. He said, I think to Thyatira, he that overcometh, I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter are dashed into shivers, even as I've received of my Father. But anyway, each one of the churches has a promise, but there's that thing there, he that overcometh, you know, in the 21st chapter of Revelation, he says, and I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, and he that overcometh will inherit all things, and I will be his God. But again and again, the exhortations in the New Testament speaking of the end times are he that overcometh, he that overcometh. And it makes a very clear picture that we're coming to some of the greatest obstacles, as Jesus testified, that's ever been faced by humanity. But as it was with the early church, great grace was upon them all. And I've just been understanding in my spirit that this very thing that everybody looks at with a certain amount of trepidation, and I think it's understandable, because we don't need to be arrogant. We need to be in humility, because we're not going to be strong in ourselves. We'll be strong only in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the only strength that's capable of facing the days we come into. And I think with all of my heart, I believe that these days, it's the very catalyst, this, the shaking, the testing, the vehement testing is the catalyst that'll separate the wheat from the chaff. It's the winds of adversity that blow away the chaff that cause the wheat to be purified and clean and ready for the garner. You know, and I believe with all my heart, these days, you know, you look in the I think it's Hebrews 12, where he says, yet I shake once more, not the earth only, but the heavens. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of the things that are shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. And it's the same thing in the 7th chapter of Matthew, when he says, he therefore that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods arose, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it stood, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and does not obey them is like a foolish man without a foundation, who built his house on sand. The rain descended, the floods arose, the winds blew upon the house, and it fell, and great was the ruin of it. All of the houses will be vehemently tested. We come into a time when Jesus spoke of, and we all are familiar with these scriptures, but He said, tribulation so great such as never was since the beginning of the world or ever again shall be. And I've read some of history, and there's been some tough times people have gone through. And the saints have been through horrendous times. If you've read the martyrs' books, you understand that the brethren have been through horrendous dealings. And we're kind of a fluffy generation in this nation in particular. But God is going to have a remnant of every people, kindred, tongue, and tribe that call on his name. And they're going to be overcomers. And he that overcometh, that's the words the Lord uses for the days that come into. He that overcometh, he that endures until the end. In order to overcome, that means you have some great obstacles in your face, great mountains that are in your, that you have to go over, great rivers to cross, great fires to go through. But it's the very thing that brings forth a remnant of people that do know their God. It's they that do know their God that are strong and do exploits. At the same time, it says Satan's going to make war with the saints and overcome them, but they that do know their God will be strong and do mighty exploits. And this is a time when everything, I think of that scripture that says, one brother said this about, and I've mentioned this before, but a brother spoke one time, I think it's like 40 years ago or something, he said that. Crisis reveals, brethren, absolute crisis absolutely reveals. And that's a formula, he said, for the end days that we're getting ready to be. This is not a testing time. This is an absolute testing time when everything that can be shaken. It's once, he says, I shook the earth. Now it's the heavens and the earth so that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It's a time when it says, and the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss, yet he himself saved as by fire. But these are a time when God is going to absolutely, you know, it says, I think it's in Haggai, but he says, yet once more in a little while I'll shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land, I'll shake all nations. And this is what the Lord's going to do in these days. And he's going to do that because he's going to bring forth a people that bear his name, that bear his anointing, that bear his character and bear his strength. And they are going to, it's, you know, I was sitting there, I was, when I was over hunting this last week, I was watching an eagle, and I was hunting, and it was 45 mile an hour winds, I'm guessing, and a 10 degrees maybe, and it was just terrible chilly, and I watching this eagle, and he had his face into the wind, and he didn't have to move a muscle. He just had his wings spread, and he was being lifted higher and higher and higher and higher. Never flapped a wing. Effortless, totally effortless, because the adversity, the winds of adversity, were lifting him higher and higher and higher, and he never had to wait. You know, and it says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. I think it's like in Isaiah 40. But anyway, the point being is that these, if you guys have never read it, I really encourage you to go online sometime and read Bill Britton, Britton, Eagle Saints Arise. And you've probably heard some of the testimonies of that brother, The Harness of the Lord and Eagle Saints Arise. But it's a marvelous little book. You can read it online. But anyway, very encouraging for the days we come into. The man was ahead of his time. But I just really believe with my heart that these are the days, this is the very catalyst. You look at 1 Peter 3, I think it is, when he says, wherein 8 souls were saved by water. This is the water that destroyed the world and everything in it. But 8 souls were saved by it. And it's going to be the very thing. There's some lower level critters that are hiding under the bushes when the wind starts blowing cold. And then there's the eagles that just go higher, lift their wings out, and they catch the wind, and it blows them higher and higher and higher. And I know with all of my heart that this is a time when everything that's there will be absolutely made manifest. There's nothing hidden that shall not be known. The Lord has arranged an absolute crisis. It is absolutely only way that you can overcome in it is by the strength of the Lord. You're either in the Spirit or you are overcome. You're either walking with Christ in the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost and fire, walking in the anointing and the power of God, or your burger. And there's no other way in the world you can look at it. This is the day when all the false, everything that's built on man's strength, built on man's kingdom, is coming down. But everything that is built by the Holy Ghost, he says, you know, every tree which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And that's really, this is the day that's coming. We're talking about absolute crisis that will absolutely reveal every secret of every heart, every work of man, everything. I'm going to shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, all shake, all nations. It says in the 21st chapter of Luke, it says, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Just looking at the things coming on the face of the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunken man, it says in, I think, the 24th chapter of Isaiah. It also says it's going to tilt off its axis and be like a chased deer, and it's going to be removed out of its place. Even the heavens and the earth are going to shake. There's nothing stable, and the only stability there will be in that time is those whose kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered hence. But we have to be in a place where that eternal kingdom is more real to us than this one that we dwell in, that we live and breathe and dream about, another kingdom, not of this world. Because in this world here, the only thing that we're going to be able in this kingdom here, we are here to bear eternal fruit, to be faithful to the Lord. To live or to die is irrelevant. It's an issue of being faithful unto death. And those are the people that God will give a crown of life. If you be faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. And we don't fear death, but we really need with all of our hearts to prepare ourselves and arm ourselves with a mind to suffer, as it says in 1 Peter 4, that we're unmoved by what's going on in this kingdom. It says in Hebrews 13, it says, the Lord is my helper. It says, as it is written, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And Jesus turned to Pontius Pilate and said, you have no power against me unless it's given of my Father in heaven. And that needs to be where we're walking in this hour. We need to get a clear vision. But it's without a doubt, really important and imperative that we get our hearts in a very honest place with ourselves and with our brethren and with God, because we don't want secrets. We don't want closets that have never been opened up or things hidden under the bed. We want in a place where it's all been revealed. It's all been brought into the light. It's all been made manifest, where we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because in my spirit, I just am, I'm hearing more and more in my spirit this whole concept of he that overcometh. I'm hearing that in my spirit. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, as fishes are taken in a net, and as birds are taken in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. And that time is here. We're going to find ourselves. If we haven't seen the handwriting on the wall yet, we're not going to see it till it's in our lap. But it's here, and this is the time. We don't have, months and years. We're in a time where we're getting ready to face tremendous, tremendous crisis. But remember, that is going to be the catalyst that separates the wheat from the chaff. It's also going to be that which lifts up the true saints into the heavenly places, where they rule and reign with Christ, not with theory, not in theology, but in reality and in a walk. There's so many things people have this by theory. Well, that's not good enough in this hour. We're not going to be talking to devils and saying, I adjure thee by the Jesus that Paul preaches. We're going to be saying, we need to be in that place where we're known in heaven and we're known in hell. They say, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know. But who are you? And we need to be known in hell, and we need to be known in heaven, where we're known of the Father, and we're known by the enemy's kingdom. And it's not the man that commends himself in this hour, it's the man whom God commends. And I'm convinced in my heart that there's not very much that's going on in the name of the Lord in this land that's being commended by God. But God is getting ready to separate the wheat from the chaff, but it's not bad news, that's good news. for those that are in Christ, for those that are led of the Spirit, for those that are the called of God, separated unto Him in this hour. They're the ones that are the winds are going to lift them high into the heavenly place.
Amen. Amen. That was good, Michael. Thank you. Anybody got any comments on that?
Yeah, I got a comment. When Michael was talking about the eagles, you know, I was just seeing that that's where we need to be as far as not flapping our wings. I mean, just, you know, just putting our wings out and letting the wind get underneath our wings, which is the Spirit, and being lifted higher into the heavenlies as far as by the Spirit, and no works. Where we're just in the heavenlies, in the rest, you know, with the wind or the Spirit under our wings, and I just saw that as just kind of being led, you know, led of the Spirit or that, but then, you know, we've got chickens and I see where, you know, most Christians or most of the church out there, you know, are like a bunch of chickens. They're out there, you know, scratching and clawing in the dirt, and they, you know, they think they're so pulled together, and, you know, they peck at each other. There's a pecking order, and, you know, they all want to be, you know, if you've got a roost inside the chicken coop, they all want to be on the top roost. And, you know, it's no different than, you know, than man and in the body. And, you know, but what happens is they're, you know, they're kind of mean to each other and that. And then, but there's always one rooster. And I see that as kind of the pastor, you know, is always crowing around and, you know, and he's keeping all the hens in submission as far as that. And, you know, but, you know, most of the chickens think they're so pulled together until a hawk flies over, and then all of a sudden they're all, you know, huddled together in the corner together. You know, when tribulation comes, it's like this fear, and they all kind of, you know, huddle together. But, you know, a few other things I was seeing is that when darkness comes, you know, chickens have no, you know, they can't see at night. They have no spiritual eyes, you know, so they're not prepared for the darkness. And I was just getting some of these revelations when Michael was speaking, you know, as far as that. So, you know, I was just seeing where, you know, the chickens, it takes a lot of works to try to get into the heavenlies, and they can't stay up there very long, and they're back down on the earth. You know, because it's all works, where the eagle just spreads out his wings and lets the Lord do it. So that's the revelation I got. Amen.
Hi, Tim, did you read Eagle Saints Arise by Bill Britton?
No.
Oh, brother, you've got to read it. It's just a short little booklet, but B-R-I-T-T-O-N, Eagle Saints Arise. He's talking about the very thing you're speaking of, the whole analogy of everything you're saying is written. It's amazing.
What's his last name?
Britton, B-R-I-T-T-O-N, Bill Britton. And,
okay.
and the name of the book is Eagle Saints Arise. And it had one of the stories is on that very thing you're talking about. Amazing story. But
all right.
You know, interesting thing about the eagle though is if it was a calm day, the eagle would have to flap his wings continually to get anywhere. There has to be winds of adversity for an eagle to get airborne, and that's the separation. It's going to be the days of adversity that are really going to lift up the overcomers.
All right. Can y'all hear me? Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, here, I had one other scripture when you were talking. It's this is 2 Peter 3:10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with the fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And that's really what I saw, is the works therein that are in the earth, that when the Lord brings judgment, I mean, just all of man's works are going to be totally burned up. And, you know, but I'd seen that today, so I want to just kind of share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's all about getting right with the Lord in a good way. Submission, surrender to the Heavenly Father. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to add?
Yes, this is Wade. Yeah. My wife wanted to give a testimony about one of her teeth.
It's a tooth. It's on the bottom near my teeth, and it got a cavity. And then I said, well, it was hurting so bad. I said, well, I'm not going to go to the dentist. I'm going to let Jesus heal it. So I let Jesus heal it. And the cavity became a hole, and then the hole
you could see
closed the nerve.
The nerve. You could see the nerve, and God healed it.
I don't have no pain.
She had it a couple of months ago, and we didn't even notice that she was healed. It just passed her mind, you know, busy about other things. But God healed it. And,
healed it.
And we thought that was a wonderful thing he did. Cause, I mean, the tooth, the hole is still there.
The nerve's still there.
We're praying that God will refill the enamel, but she's not having any pain.
Praise God. Yep, just keep believing. That tooth will show back up. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Praise you, Father, for Jeanette's healing. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Awful quiet out there.
Yeah, Michael?
Hey, go ahead, Bart.
I got one. Just last night, for the first time in about, it's got to be maybe at least maybe a couple of years, I could not chew on my right side because there was either one tooth or two, I don't know, because it hurt so bad. I don't know how many teeth were involved, but for the past couple of years, the only time I couldn't chew on it, the only time that I would experience pain would be when pressure was applied to it. If I was to chew on anything thicker than water, the pain would rocket through the nerve and straight to the brain. I mean, it smart something fierce. As long as the only contact with it was air, I felt no pain whatsoever. None. Zero. Until the slightest pressure was applied to it, and then it was like stepping on a needle. The pain was so bad. Until last night. Until last night. I noticed that I could bite things off near toward the front. My teeth was starting to hurt me on my left side, and I was wondering if that was maybe an impetus to maybe even, you know, just to see what it felt like on the right. And I started, you know, chewing some fruit on the right side, and about 80% of the pain was gone. Just completely bizarre. It's been at least a couple of years, maybe closer to three, that I could not touch the right side of my jaw. Couldn't touch it. And the pain would never scale up or scale down. I just could not chew on the right side until last night. So I just wanted to mention that it's just a marvel to see God heal me.
Praise God. Yeah, he can. This must be tooth night. Praise God for that. I tell you what, you experience a toothache and that hurts, boy.
It
hurts.
Normally, when I have a toothache, normally, it is a painful throbbing. It's like a burn. It is a moment by moment thing. But this was different. This was something where you could not tell it even existed until I went to chew on it. And then if I were to accidentally have a particle of food reach over to the right side for any reason at any time, boy, that would wake me right up and just absolutely freeze everything mentally and physically in me. The pain was so bad. I mean, you could not, unless I could eat and I could drink, as long as no pressure was on the right side. Otherwise, I would not wouldn't even know it's there. I would not even know it's there until last night, and I could start to chew on it. I was just, man, that is so bizarre.
Thank you, Lord. So,
yeah, thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to know, what was the name of that article again? Eagles, what?
Michael? Michael Montana?
The book is by Bill Britton, Britton.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the book is Eagle Saints Arise. But there's short stories in there. One of them, I'm sure you've read, The Harness of the Lord, is another one of his famous visions. And then Jonathan and Zadok. It has different chapters in that small book, but you can read it online. I checked the other day, and it's online. But it's an encouraging book. The guy was a visionary, a prophetic brother, about the days that we're coming into, and those are very encouraging stories.
Okay, thank you.
Amen. Yep. Seemed like I read that book years ago, but it would be worth trying to go over it again. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Yes, I do.
All right, go ahead. Who am I speaking with?
This is Terry.
Oh, okay.
While Michael Montana was talking, it just really touched my soul. I mean, I was kind of just praying and repenting while he was talking, because it just really was a word that I needed to hear. And I was feeling like I was coming down with something, and I feel completely healed now. So I just am so grateful for you guys. I don't have a fellowship here.
Well, that's what we're here for. That's why we put this conference call in here, this fellowship in here. It's for people who don't have.
Yeah, and I just appreciate it so much. And as long as we're telling tea stories, I forgot to tell you guys that a few months ago, I had had a toothache for probably 2 months. And it was pretty bad, not as bad as the other guy that was talking, but it was pretty bad. And then one day, it was just totally gone, and it's been gone ever since. And so I just praise the Lord for that. Anyway, I just wanted to share that, and I'm just so grateful for you guys. And thank you, Michael Montana, for sharing that.
Amen. He gets a lot in a little bit of space of time. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else? You know, we often talk about submission to the Father, surrendering our lives to the Lord. And the foundation for that total and complete submission, it lies in the understanding that God is in complete control because He's sovereign. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Well, because God is sovereign, there's nothing that we receive in our life that don't already come from Him. John 3:27 says, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." And if somebody, a believer, understands that nothing can happen to them that hadn't been given to them from their loving Father, it's going to help you to face all of those obstacles and all of those circumstances and renew your confidence that you're in God's hands. He's got you in His hands. He says in Psalms 37:23-24, "The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand." And knowing, you know, just knowing that my steps are ordered by God, that He's going to uphold me with His hand, gives me a whole lot of comfort and rest. And knowing that God's in complete control of everything that happens around us is why we can obey the Apostle Paul when he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And when we fully understand that it's God who's the one in control in these circumstances that happen around us, and it ain't just the devil that comes against us, then we'll be able to completely submit to God first and then to that circumstance or situation that's right in front of us. But without that understanding of God being in control, you're going to be blaming the devil, you're going to be blaming somebody else for your problems, and you're never going to be in complete and total submission to the Father who created you. God's in control of everything. Job 2:10, he says, "Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." And the reason Job didn't sin, because he didn't attribute God by attributing God as the author of all that hardship and evil he went through. Now, that evil came probably through the hand of the devil, but Job understood it was God who was in charge, and that a man can receive nothing unless it have been given to him from heaven. Just like we read. And so as we begin to understand that God's the one responsible for good and what we perceive as bad in our lives, we got to ask ourselves, why? Why would a loving father want bad things to happen to his children? That's because God loves us, and we are His children that these things happen. Hebrews 12:5-6 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives." And when you have that understanding of God's power, we're going to see and look at submission. We're going to look at it from eyes which see everything that we receive in life comes from God. And we're going to look through those eyes that understand that God is in the process of teaching us and training us to walk in the steps of Jesus. 1 John 2:6 says, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Praise God. And Jesus said it best when He said, "I have said these things to you that in Me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16. And that's our Christian walk. That in the world, you're going to have these trials. You're going to have these tribulations. Can you submit to this for your life? It's a promise throughout the whole Scriptures. It says in Acts 14:22, "Through many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom of God." Wonder how many Christians really understand that in order to enter the kingdom of God, they're going to have to suffer and go through tribulation. Jesus said, "In Me, you may have peace. And that's the only way we can endure the storms of life and have this peace that Jesus talks about. Jesus overcame the world. And if he is in you, there's going to be peace in your life. Even when that storm is all around you. Being in him means being in submission to God's will and to Jesus. That's the word, right? And only then will you have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, as Philippians 4 tells us. Some of you are asking yourself right now, could it really be God's will that we suffer? 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. We got to learn to submit to God and see that the trials which come about in our lives are really tests in which God's in control of. Everything that happens is a test. It's his will to teach us to be more Christ-like. 1 Peter 4 says, in verses 12 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing, he says. Now, are you seeing your fiery ordeal as that test of Christ to become more like him? We need to rejoice and submit to God, because we're promised that after we have suffered a little while, we're going to be strengthened by the very hand in which that trial or that tribulation or that fire ordeal came from. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, and the God of all grace, who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that ye have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. And you're going to be strengthened after that suffering, but only after you pass the test that you just went through. And probably most people is that they seem to continually go through those same trials in life over and over and over again. They keep going around the mountain, don't you? They go through these sufferings and tribulations without submitting to the will of God and learning how they ought to act according to the Bible. When the trials come, they know they ought to turn the other cheek. They know they ought not to be offended, but they are, aren't they? And when others come against them, they know they ought to pray and bless those who curse them and despitefully use them. But what happens? They don't. They get offended. They hold bitterness. And they don't hardly ever turn that other cheek. And because of that, they're like the Israelite children who came out of Egypt and turned an 11-day journey to the Promised Land into a 40-year excursion. Most didn't submit to God and never made it to the Promised Land. And then you got to ask yourself, is that what you're doing now? Each and every Christian, if they are truly a Christian by actions, and not just name only, are going to immediately enter into that submission to the Lord when they give their life to Jesus. And that's why Jesus expects us to immediately obey him and ask why people call him their Lord. And that means master, when they don't obey him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say, he says in Luke 6. And it's only those who do what Jesus says in his word who are in submission to God. And that Greek word for submission is hupotasso. And that means to obey. Be under obedience. Put under. Be put in subjection to and submit self unto. You know what, and back in Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 and 22, it says to obey is better sacrifice, is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. So the very first action as a believer is to completely submit to your Lord and Savior. Instead of serving ourselves and our selfish needs, we need to put all that aside. We're now called to serve the Lord. And we do that by submitting to the Word of God and whatever it says. If you come across a verse that tells you to do something, that's what you ought to do. Turn the other cheek, that's what you ought to do. We obey the Word. which is Jesus, it tells us in John 1:1. And don't make any difference where it leads us, by submitting to the Lord and obeying His word, we're going to naturally start to die to that old self. And we're going to die as the Bible commands us to do. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it, in Matthew 16. That losing our life ain't a one-time thing, but it is a continual process of dying daily to ourselves and living that life of Jesus. The Apostle Paul even said, I die daily. Because why? He was in complete submission to Jesus daily. He said, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The Apostle Paul knew the importance of bringing his body into submission to the Word of God. And we as believers must also be in complete submission to what we see in the Word of God. We got to be in total and complete submission to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word each and every day. Are you reading His Word every day? So that can happen. Total submission to Jesus and His Word. Is that too much for Jesus to ask of all of us? No, it's not, because Jesus was our example. He was in complete submission to His Father in heaven. You remember what He said? He said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me, in John 5 and 30. Jesus didn't do nothing on His own. He didn't seek His own will. He sought only what the Father wanted Him to do. And Jesus wasn't concerned about Himself or His needs or His glory, because He came to do the will of the Father and glorify His name. John 6 and 38 says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Now, when those looked like bad things happened to Jesus, He didn't resist, and He didn't blame man. He didn't even blame the devil. Jesus knew that nothing could happen to Him that was not in His Father's will. In John 19, verses 10 and 11, it says, then Pilate said to Him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? And Jesus said, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. And He told the truth right then. Jesus was our perfect example of total submission to His Father and the Word. And we have to be willing to make Jesus our Lord and Master. And if so, you'll be submitting to and obeying the Word of God just like Jesus submitted to His Father's. And just as Jesus suffered for righteousness and submitted to God, you're going to have to suffer for righteousness also according to the will of God. 1 Peter 3 and 13 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And in verse 17, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And when we first become a baptized, born-again believer, we enter into a new spiritual realm. Believers are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. And it's no longer us that live, but it's Christ living inside of us, right? It's because of what Jesus did on the cross that we now have the authority that Jesus has. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20, He said, He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body. I know most of you know that Christ put all things in subjection to him and has turned right around and given that authority to the church, to all believers. And that means that Satan and his demons are in subjection to you, and they got to obey you. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And those demons are in complete submission because of the blood of Jesus. And every believer who knows his or her authority in Jesus has got complete power over the enemy. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 says, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons." And because it's Christ who lives in you, those demons shudder every time you're around. That is, if you know and believe your authority in Christ, those demons got to obey you. But if you don't believe that, that devil's going to push you around. He's going to intimidate you. And he's going to have you fearful about everything that comes around in your life. And that's why the Bible tells us, said, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5 and 8. Now, a good analogy of our authority in Christ, which we got over Satan, be like a parent over their children. And you as a parent, you have complete authority over their children. But if you as a parent don't take that authority, those kids are going to walk all over them. But the parents have the authority over their children, and they gave it up, and those children became spoiled, and they're going to wreak havoc in that house. And that's how Satan operates in our lives. He's going to wreak havoc within our lives if we let him. We don't have to let him. Let him as a child of God. We as Christians have complete authority over the enemy. And I wonder why that most Christians give that authority to the devil. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 again, verses 18 through 20. "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold," listen to this, "I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions," those are demons, "and over all the power of the enemy." Now, what does all leave out? It don't leave nothing out. "And nothing," listen, "and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You know, stop being afraid of what the devil tries to do in your life. He's in complete submission to that Jesus in you. 1 John 4 and 18 says, remember this, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear," praise God. And Jesus is our perfect love, isn't he? And the sooner we understand that the devil is subject to you, that's the sooner you're going to stop letting him push you around. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So we need to submit to God, take back what you have given to the devil, and make him submit to the Christ in you, right? You know, have you ever considered that the difficult situation that you're in right now, those circumstances you're in right now, and these are situations that God has already orchestrated in order to have you to submit to his will and to teach you how to overcome the devil. The scripture says that the devil comes like a roaring lion to destroy those who let him. Just don't let him. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." And that devil, he'll devour you if you let him. So we got to resist him by submitting to God and submitting to what his word says. And believe it or not, God's number one purpose for the devil is to put our flesh to death. so that we can become more like Christ by submitting to God and His Word and putting your flesh to death, that devil ain't going to have any kind of legal access to you, and he's got to leave you alone. He's got to leave you alone. Proverbs 16 and 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God uses the devil to work in wicked men to come against us. And when we have submitted to the Word of God and we obeyed that Word, our ways are going to please God. And when our ways please God, He's going to call off that devil. And He's going to cause our enemies to be at peace with us. And if our ways please the Lord, the devil ain't got a bit of legal right to make war against you. Amen? So we need to submit ourselves to the Word of God. And where God has, where the devil has been hounding you and pounding you in certain areas of your life, well, you need to submit to God in that area of your life and then run that devil off. Run that scoundrel on off. He ain't got no business there if you submit to the Lord's Word. Lord, I just thank you for putting this in our hearts to know what our authority in you is, Lord, that you are actually living inside of us and we have the same authority that you had when you walked this earth, Lord. And we can heal and we don't have to walk that knocked down life. All we have to do is submit to your word, Lord. And I thank you that you are placing that in our hearts to do just that, Lord, to submit to the word, to walk in the word, and to walk in you, Lord. And I thank you that you have placed that peace in our hearts and that rest in our hearts to be able to do that, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody got any comment or anything they'd like to share? Nobody? Oh, okay. What about, you got anything you'd like to share? Anything you'd like to share at all? Anybody struggling in this area of authority in Christ? What you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I thought you brought up some really good points, Michael. I was thinking it over. I could see where, you know, it's more about trying to figure out where you got to submit and be submitted to the word when something comes up against you, how you're not going to fail a test, but at the same time, try to harness that flesh and push it down so it doesn't come out, you know. And at the same time, realize that you're walking as Jesus Christ. The old man's dead. You know, so that's interesting. It's a very, it's a learning process. like salvation is instant and progressive. This is part of the process. So what you've said was very true.
Amen.
I'm not saying I made it easy, but what you said is very true.
Oh yeah, we're all walking that fine walk, you know, and you know, you might stumble here and there, but just get back up, tell God you're sorry, and go on. He's already forgotten it.
It's like, I'll give you an instance. Today I was working on a machine. I had to have a vacuum out. I was cleaning out part of it, and I was kind of stretched out a little ways away from the power line, you know, so it was kind of pulled away from the area I was at. This guy seen that, and his way of showing me that it was not safe was to grab the cord and whip it up and down a few times where it hit up against me. And it's like it smacked me a couple of times, and I wasn't paying attention to what was going on. And I thought, oh, what's this? I looked over, and there he was, just pulling away at it, looking at me. And I thought, what are you doing? But that's the kind of stuff, you know, it's like, you know, you think, why are these people doing this? But you know, it's really Satan there. It's the Lord allowing Satan to get under your skin to see how you're going to react. So it's just like one of those little things. You're thinking, why are these people getting into your, you know, coming into your area and doing something to you? But that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Amen. He is a brother. He was helping you out, wasn't he? Those are the kind of help outs we don't like a lot of times.
The Bill Britton help, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. When we decide not to get angry or even to take revenge in our flesh, that's an overcoming way there. Bringing your thoughts into captivity. That's another overcoming. get up in the mornings and ask the Lord to cleanse your thoughts, cleanse your mind, cleanse everything, cleanse all your gates, you know, your eye gate, your nose gate, your mouth gate especially, and your mind and your thoughts. To have the Lord cleanse them up in the evening as well. Because you know as well as I do, you're out there in the world, and you see all of these things get in your mind, these pictures flash in your mind, and all those things that the world has to offer out there gets in your mind, and just ask the Lord to cleanse them and help you to walk that walk as he does it too. And he'll do it. He'll cleanse your mind, and man, you'll start off just like a brand new book with no writing on it. You cast down those thoughts when they come and those imaginations that are contrary to the Bible. That's when you're submitting and overcoming. Praise God. And that's what God loves to see in his people, their obedience. Amen. A lot of times we want to give somebody our peace of mind, don't we? But we shouldn't. We just need to bite our tongue. Said, okay, Lord, I see this. This is a test now. I'm going to pass this one. Because that brother over there, he can't do nothing to make me mad because I am submitting to your word. I'm going to turn the other cheek. Just laugh at him. Because you know you have authority over all the enemy. And then you'll be passing test after test after test after a while. Just make a conscientious effort with God's help. Ask God to walk with you and show you these things. And he'll do it. You'll be putting to death that old fleshly nature, and you'll be submitting to Christ, won't you? Galatians 5:24 says, they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and lusts thereof. What does that do? That just creates Christ in us, doesn't it? That's when Christ comes out and old self dies. Praise God. You put to death that old man, and then you allow that new man. You're feeding that new man when you do that. That Christ in you. He'll grow and grow and grow, and the next thing you know, you'll just be shining like a light bulb out there. Praise God. Okay, we're kind of winding down here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share or anything they'd like to pray about? I hope you all understand that it is God the Father who is in complete control of everything around your life and my life and all of your life. And he's orchestrating these trials and these tribulations in order for us to overcome them. Even when man does these wicked and evil things against you, God means it for good in your life. Amen. Well, Father, I just thank you so much for tonight. We've had awesome testimonies of your healing power. We've had awesome testimonies, Lord, of complete annihilation of cancer. We thank you for that, Lord. And toothaches. And asthma. And all of those things, Lord. We just glorify your name because we know what our authority is. And we can hook our faith together and know that you're going to back up what your word says. In each and every trial that we go through, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us tomorrow. You're going to walk with us. You're going to lead us. You're going to be leading our every walk. And you're going to bring to our memory that, hey, this is a test. Every time something comes up, every time an unprofitable servant of yours, Lord, comes against us, we know that it's going to be a test. And we're going to say, oh, that's what that is. That's a test. The Lord said we're going to have these tests. That's a test coming up. I'm going to pass this one because God's with me. He's going to give you the power. He's already given it to you. He's already given you the power and the authority. You've given those things to us, Lord, and I thank you for them. They're awesome tools that you've given us to combat this old self life and this world that we live in, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your healing. We thank you, Lord, for your deliverances. We thank you, Lord, for being with us every day. And we thank you that tonight's going to be a special night because you're going to give us a good night's sleep, a good night's restful sleep. And for Joe and Nora, it's going to be a blessed day. They're going to go out walking, going to be shining like a new light, love. And they're going to know that you're in charge. And I thank you, Father, that we all believe that. And we're all walking that out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives and keeping us on that straight and that narrow walk. And these things we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good night, saints.